This is The Takeaway. I'm Arun Vanigopal, in today for Tanzina Vega. Good to have you with us.
This is the fifth in a series of public hearings the committee will be holding as part of the House of Representatives impeachment inquiry. Ambassador Sondland, welcome. Really not glad you're here, but welcome to the fifth day of this circus.
Was there a quid pro quo? As I testified previously, with regard to the requested White House call and the White House meeting, the answer is yes. Mr. Giuliani's requests were a quid pro quo for arranging a White House visit for President Zelensky. Again, everyone was in the loop. State Department leadership expressed total support for our efforts to engage the new Ukrainian administration. Secretary Perry, Ambassador Volker, and I worked with Mr. Rudy Giuliani on Ukraine matters at the express direction of the President of the United States.
Ambassador Gordon Sondland testifying there on Capitol Hill today, where he told lawmakers, yes, there was a quid pro quo in the White House's dealings with Ukraine, and that policy, quote, reflected President Trump's desires and requirements. He also said that officials ranging from Vice President Mike Pence to Secretary of State Mike Pompeo were all in the loop on what was going on with Ukraine. Joining me now to walk us through Sondland's testimony is Amanda Turkle, Washington Bureau Chief at Huffington Post. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, thanks for having me.
We heard Sondland directly implicate several other senior White House officials, Mike Pompeo, Vice President Mike Pence, John Bolton. Help us break down what Sondland says the role of those officials was in this Ukraine pressure campaign.
Well, one of the ways that Republicans have tried to dismiss all of this is that if there was any malfeasance, it was just this rogue operation. You know, it's hard for people to defend what Rudy Giuliani was doing. And then people like Sondland were maybe working with Giuliani, but, you know, it didn't go any farther than that. And that's a way to distance President Trump from all of this. But Sondland is saying today that that's not true. He said that basically everyone knew, everyone was in the loop. It was no secret. And this was essentially administration policy to get Ukraine to do the president's bidding and to use foreign policy, U.S. foreign policy to do so, even if it's not in the, you know, national interest of the United States.
How momentous would you say today's testimony was?
Oh, I think it's today's testimony was the biggest bombshell we've had so far. This is someone who it's really hard for Republicans to dismiss him. He's a lifelong Republican who was chosen by Trump to be ambassador to the EU. He had regular contact with the president. He even joked about how he and Trump often used four-letter words and used crude language when they talked to each other. Like, this is someone who said, you know, I had quite a bit of access to Trump. And so, you know, he's not a never Trumper. He supported the president. He donated $1 million to his inauguration. And he is saying that, you know, we were taking our orders from the president. Everyone knew what was going on. And, you know, this is just very, very hard for Republicans to dismiss.
I guess the big quote of the day is Sondland saying there was a quid pro quo here. How damaging is that particular phrase and that idea for President Trump and his allies?
It's very damaging, since that's the big talking point, is there was no quid pro quo. You know, we heard Republicans in their line of questioning say, like, look, how do you know it was what the president wanted? You know, they told you to go to, Trump told you to talk to Rudy Giuliani, but do you know what that really meant? And, you know, Sondland is essentially saying, like, yeah, we knew what it meant. If you're telling us that you don't want to deal with it because, and you want us to talk to Rudy Giuliani and Giuliani is telling us that this is what he wants us to do, it's clear what the orders were because Trump and Giuliani obviously spoke regularly as well. So Republicans, again, are trying to distance Trump as much as they can. But the only way to get more proof is to have Trump or Giuliani testify directly. And obviously the White House doesn't want that so far. But you have a guy who talked to both of them, and he said it was clear what the president wanted and what we were supposed to do.
So Republican ranking member Devin Nunes, among others who dismissed the significance of this quid pro quo that Sondland laid out today, in what other ways were they trying to undermine his testimony?
you know, again, I think that the key ways that they have tried to dismiss the testimony of the witnesses is to question whether they have dual loyalty. In the case of Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, that doesn't work here. That they were never Trumpers. Again, you can't do that with someone who donated $1 million to the president. To say that they didn't have firsthand knowledge. And you can't really do that with Sondland either. But that is the one area where they're trying to do it more. You had Trump speak to reporters while Sondland was testifying and say, I have not spoken to him much. This is not a man I know well. He seems like a nice guy, though. So Trump is trying to be like, you know, Trump can't say that he never spoke to Sondland because he obviously did. But he's saying like, look, I didn't really know him that well. And Republicans are saying, you know, he talked to Giuliani more. He doesn't have in writing or expressly Trump saying this is what I want. And so that is where you see Republicans still trying to drive a wedge.
Toward the end of Democrats counsel Daniel Goldman's questioning, he brought up Ambassador Bill Taylor's early September conversations with Sondland. Taylor testified that Trump had told the ambassador aid was contingent on Zelensky's public announcements. However, Sondland disagreed. How significant is his disagreement with that other claim by Taylor?
Well, it does seem like that much. Sondland's understanding was much more that the quid pro quo focused on getting a White House meeting for Zelensky. And if the Ukrainians wanted that, then it would, you know, they needed to do the investigations. And this idea of the aid came later. But I thought one thing that was significant that Sondland said that we hadn't really heard before, we obviously know that Trump wanted Zelensky to give a press conference saying he was going to investigate companies like Burisma, which is obviously what Joe Biden was and his son were involved with. But according to Sondland, Trump didn't actually want an investigation into Burisma. He just wanted Zelensky to hold a press conference saying he was going to investigate Burisma, which seems to underscore that Trump wasn't really concerned about Ukrainian corruption. He just wanted this press conference that he could then use for his political benefit, whether it's running in an ad or something like that.
Did Sondland contradict any of his earlier testimony, or did he add to it?
I mean, Sondland has been a shifty witness. He, you know, initially said things didn't happen, and then he said they did. You know, there was a key phone call that others have testified about where Sondland was overheard talking to Trump and saying that Zelensky loves him, that they're Trump asking, are they going to do the investigations? And Sondland never brought that up, for example. So today, he was asked about it, and he said, you know, I don't really remember it because it was so ordinary. We talked about stuff like this all the time. It would have actually been weirder if President Trump hadn't mentioned investigations. And so, yes, Sondland has been a bit all over the place, but he tried to say today that it was in part because the administration would not share with him many of his documents and his emails that he needed to back up his accounts, and that they should be shared with him and with the committee. And so it's the administration's fault that his memory is so faulty.
Speaking of that phone call that you referred to, here is Adam Schiff asking about David Holmes. That's a U.S. embassy official. David Holmes, his account of his conversation with Sondland following that call. Let's listen in on that.
Mr. Holmes also testified that you told him President Trump doesn't care about Ukraine. He only cares about big stuff that relates to him personally. I take it from your comment, you don't dispute that part of the conversation.
Well, he made that clear in the May 23rd meeting that he was not particularly fond of Ukraine, and we had a lot of heavy lifting to do to get him to engage.
So you don't dispute that part of Mr. Holmes' recollection?
No.
What else did Sondland confirm about the call and Holmes' description of it, and what exactly did he dispute?
Well, he said, I would have been more surprised if President Trump had not mentioned investigations. Mm-hmm. It's another thing he said.
I guess just to stay on that, what are we to take away from that?
I mean, it says that Trump was obsessed with this. And this is basically what they talked about. Again, the fact that Sondland was involved in Ukraine at all has confused a lot of people in the administration. He's ambassador to the EU. Ukraine is not part of his portfolio. So why is he involved? You know, the Ukraine Ukraine, Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch, was obviously someone that Trump didn't like. He didn't think she was on board. He needed a player who would cooperate with him. And apparently Sondland was seen as that person. Again, he was a donor, and that's basically how he got the job. And that's not something that just Republicans do and just Trump does. That's something that Democrats do, too. And so he was seen as someone who might be on board and willing to play ball with what the administration wanted in this political agenda. And so that is why he was involved. And, you know, again, Sondland is someone who seems to like power, and he seemed happy today to joke about how well he knew Trump, the crude language they used, and just the access he had.
There is also this constant reference, which was kind of exploding on Twitter, to A$AP Rocky. Why is A$AP Rocky coming to the picture here, a musician that we opened the segment with, if you didn't notice?
Right. I mean, I think that was something that people were surprised as well. I mean, that was something that the Trump administration was involved, you know, got wrapped up in foreign policy. He was found guilty of assault in Sweden, but, you know, President Trump tried to help him. And so, yes, it was a weird mention today, but it just also shows that Sondland, you know, was closely involved in what Trump was doing and Trump's personal interests.
Following Sondland's testimony, Amanda, where do we stand right now? What facts are still in dispute?
Well, I guess if I think that Democrats want to place Trump as close to the action as they can. Republicans say there is still no smoking gun where Trump said, I will not give you this military aid unless you investigate Joe Biden. You know, that may not exist, but I think that Democrats feel like they have come as close as they can without getting Trump himself or Mick Mulvaney or John Bolton, Rick Perry, or, you know, these other people who have direct knowledge, Rudy Giuliani, to testify. But you're going to hear Republicans saying that, like, it's not good enough.
Amanda Terkel is Washington Bureau Chief at the Huffington Post. Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.